Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody's bright and shiny faces, and all, like Anna says, the old faces, not old like in age, but the old ones we knew before and the new faces. We just appreciate always coming and being a part of new, I almost said new creation, but in Emerald City Bible Fellowship. You know, like Anna said, that we still are a part of you guys, not just the fact that we use the building, but we still feel a kindred spirit with you guys. We are in the fight together, amen? And so we're always praying for the body. We pray for the body because I think it's so important that the church prays for its own. That's a novel concept, huh? Church pray for itself. No, but we need to pray, amen? Well, I don't have a lot of time, folks, and you know how I can be. So I got 20 minutes, so I'm going to try to put it all in to that time frame. I've learned my lesson. See, when you preach, I get to do series. So if I don't finish 1 week, I get to carry it over and do it again. But I can't do that here. So you guys get the quick and short version, but we'll try to give you what God has given us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, your word, and how you have made us new creations in you. Lord, we thank you that we're no longer old, but we have been made new. And it's because of that newness we can do all things through you. So, Lord, I pray that as we bring your word, that you would speak beyond the words that I say, because it's really not about what I say, it's about what thus saith the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, a heart to obey, and a will to do the things that you have given us to do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So I want to talk about, real quickly, just the subject that touches all of us, and that is how to overcome insecurities in our lives. Now you guys see me, I've got this gray beard, and I think since I was about 40, maybe even before then, my beard started coming out gray. And, you know, when I was 15, I had a little goatee. So I've always had hair on my face. And then when I got about 18 or 19, I was able to grow a full beard. And then, you know, when you're 19, you want to look old, right? But then when the beard started to come out gray, I was like, oh, Lord, I'd never wear a beard again. But this year I turned 50. Or last year, I should say. And around the Christmas season, I was off for a few days. So I said, you know, I'm going to grow the beard out and see what it looks like. And I started growing it out, and I saw what it looked like. And Anna said, oh, it looks good. You look good. You look good. And you know, you're looking at the beard and say, good Lord, am I that old already? Because my dad had the same problem. He wore a beard all his life, and then when he got 50, it became white, so he stopped wearing it. But, and I say that because the reason why I didn't want to wear it, because it made me look older. And I was insecure about the fact that I'm getting old. Now, I'm older. I mean, come on. I'm 50. I can still do a few things that I used to be able to do, not all of them. Yeah, I can still hoop, but I can't dunk like I did when I was a kid. I think I can still touch the rim, but that may be a chore. So you realize as you get older that you become more insecure in things that you shouldn't really be insecure about. And some of us never get over insecurities. Amen. I mean, insecurity is such a part of our life. We have now created our life around our insecurities. And that's never been the case of what God wanted for us. And I want to show you where insecurity started, though. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. Now, the great thing about the scriptures is that it shows you in the beginning story, we can see all the where all the trouble starts. And we know the story of the third chapter of Genesis. You know, the Adam and Eve did what they were not supposed to do, right? And so verse 7 shows us after they had eaten, this is what they did. Then the eyes of both of them, I'm sorry, you guys with me? Yeah, okay, good. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid, everybody say hid, from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called, God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was," everybody say, "afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." Well, wait a minute, I thought he just sewed fig leaves on. So you see, after the fall came, we had insecurities. They started. He was afraid. Why was he afraid? Well, he was afraid because he did wrong. Now, he said, "I was afraid because I was naked," but how many of you know God had seen him naked before? So it wasn't anything new about the nudity part. It was about what he had already done. And he was ashamed of what he had done. So we see that insecurity comes from shame, fear. He said he was afraid, he was ashamed, and he hid himself. And that's what we do with insecurities. Now, let's go to Moses, and we don't have time to go to Moses, but Moses knew he was called to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Am I right about that? Everybody, Bible scholars, he knew it. Even though he was in the house of Pharaoh, he knew that his job was to bring the children of Israel out. So in his own strength, he went out to deliver them. Everybody said, in his own strength. That's what we do a lot. But notice when he went in his own strength, guess what happened? He killed somebody and then thought he hid it, but it was known. And then he was trying to arbitrate between two of his brothers and as the scripture says, the wrong brother, you know, we know some of them, said, "Who made you a judge and a ruler over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses says, "Oh, the jig is up. I got to get out of Dodge." And so Moses goes 40 years into the wilderness, a different wilderness, gets married, has children, has a family, ain't thinking about what God called him to do. But all of a sudden, God shows up again. Now, Moses is old. 80 years old. He's old now. And God tells him, "Moses, you remember that task I had for you 40 years ago? The job is still available." And Moses says, "No, not me, Lord. I can't speak well." All of a sudden, he can't do nothing. "I can't talk. I don't know where to go. I don't know. I don't want to do that. I'm old. Get somebody else." Because he was what? Insecure about his ability. But see, God took his insecure ability. And see, this is where insecurity freedom happens. Is you, regardless of what you think you can do, God can still use you. The only one that didn't have any built-in insecurities was Jesus. You know, the scripture talks about, and I can't do too many, and it says, don't do too many commercials. And when I say commercials, it's like tangents that I go off. I can't go way, way off the road. But Jesus, the reason why Jesus could not die is because he had not committed sin. And so if you think about it, and this is just the Holy Ghost imagination. If Jesus would have fallen off a cliff, he could have got up and lived because death was not in him. Even when they killed him, he could not die because death wasn't in him. That's why he said, I've received this commandment from my Father that I will rise again. So he's the only one without any built-in insecurities. But all of us, because of what we've done in the past, you may have been a good sinner like me, meaning that I didn't go to jail. I didn't do any of this. I never got high. Yeah, I never got high. You probably never seen a black man that said that, huh? I have never smoked a joint. I've never been drunk. But I was a sinner. Somebody said, well, how could you be a sinner if you didn't do that? Because sin is born into us. And see, that's what we do. We think, well, he's a worse sinner than I am. So he needs to get saved. I don't need salvation. I'm a good guy. But we all have problems. When the Holy Spirit comes to transform all of us, he gives us a new heart, a new spirit man. Now, there's been a debate in theology for years. Do we have the new man with the old man? How many know that debate? In other words, some people say that we have these two natures that are dueling, but that doesn't really measure up to Scripture. God says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. What happens? Old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. So we don't have that old nature anymore. But what we have is the old mindset and the old hurts and the old scars from sin that still want to rule the new man. So the new man only can rule when he's led by the Spirit to take off, as Paul says, throw off the old man. And see, the part of the insecurities, and I don't have time to go through my definition of insecurity, but let's just put it this, I'll give you one. It's lacking in stability is insecurity. You're plagued by anxiety. And let me just say it this way. Insecurities are all fear-based. Am I right? Amen. And let me just say this too. Pride is a strong insecurity. Because pride tries to convince you that you're better than everybody else when you know that's not true. And that's, pride is one of the largest forms of fear that we could indulge in. Because we don't want anybody to know who we really are. So we make you feel that you ain't nothing. I'm better than you. Oh yeah, well, I've been educated. I've got degrees here and degrees there. And so? So what? As we've learned, the degrees don't make you smart, because some of the stupidest things come out of the halls of academia that you would just say, what in the world are they doing? Did they legalize marijuana first? Or did they just not get off it? Because, most of them was 50s and 60s children, and they still looking for the next Woodstock. So we have to understand that anxiety and fear are the things that insecurities are from. So let's just go real quickly to how we can address them. We talked about the first step we have to realize is that because we're now new creation people, we're no longer bound by the old creation mentality. So in other words, now, and let me just use me, because when I was younger, I had a fear of speaking in public. And I was not a believer then, and my father helped me overcome that because my dad did a lot of public speaking in his time. But if I did not overcome fear, and some of you are still battling that. Some of you, oh, no, don't give me the mic. Don't give me the mic. I don't want the mic. Because you're afraid that you can't speak or you're going to stumble over your words. Look, we all stumble over our words. It's no big deal. I've made a few mistakes just standing up here. But the point is this. You cannot allow your insecurity to dictate what you're going to do. And that's what insecurities say. Say, I can't speak in public. Well, then I can't be this profession. Why? Because I'll be required to speak in public. So now you've closed off opportunities just because you don't want to speak in public. And the Bible says God has not given us the what?
Spirit of fear.
But what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is very unrational. Think about it. People are afraid of the dark. You say, how is that unrational? Because we know it's going to get dark. It's not going to stay light 24 hours a day. It's going to be dark, people. So why are you afraid of something that is coming? It's not, you can't fast and pray and darkness won't come. It's coming. So why would you be afraid of the darkness? And the spirit, the new man in you says God hadn't given you the spirit of fear, so there's no reason for you to fear. But your old man says, but you don't remember what happened to me in the dark. There it is. There it is. What happened to you in the dark now dictates what's going to happen to you tomorrow, or at least you think. But the new man says you're not bound by that old parameter. And so who are you going to listen to? And most of us listen to the old guy. Why? Because he's our buddy. We've been hanging with this guy for like, he's like Joe homie, I've been down with him for a long time, so I'm going to listen to this guy. This new guy, I like what he's got to say, but I can't get off the train yet. But you got to receive and you have to accept by faith that you're not that old person anymore. You have to accept it. Act like it's yours. That's what it means to accept something. And you have to walk in the freedom that he gives you. You say, Lord, I don't feel free. And that's where another battle is. How come when I do something, I don't feel any different? Because it's not about your feelings. It's about what the word says. You have to do what the word says regardless of what you feel like. And then as you do it, the feelings follow. But we want the feelings to lead the way. But the Bible doesn't say we walk by feelings. He says we walk by faith. And that's why faith is such a difficult concept to embrace, because it requires obedience before you got the sense to approve it. When I say sense, I mean the feeling. And that's why we struggle with prayer, because prayer is, I'm going to say it, is boring. Because you don't see the results right away. But as you're faithful in it, it becomes alive. God does never start with feelings first and then work backward. He starts with faith first and works backward. Remember when we all got saved, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I didn't feel saved. I'm asking, what else do I got to do? I got to do something else. I can't just say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. You know, come and live in my, okay, good. That's, now what else I got to do? Well, of course, there's stuff you got to do, but you don't have to do anything to be saved. Your lifestyle now follows, but because I didn't feel like I was saved, I had to go find me a preacher and do it all over again. So we have to know that we're new creations. The second thing is we can't define ourselves in terms of our inabilities, but according to God's ability. Moses did what was the impossible, not because he could do it, because he trusted that God was able to do. I mean, could you imagine if God had told Moses, okay, Moses, I want you to bring the children of Israel out, and like day three, you're going to open the Red Sea. He would have said, Lord, are you talking to the Holy Ghost? It's because I can't open no seas. Who am I to? Is Jesus? Of course, he didn't know Jesus' name back then. He wouldn't have gone. He'd have said, count me out. The Red Sea just threw me. Now, can you imagine standing in front of the Red Sea and telling the Red Sea, open? And then not only that, seeing it open. But he didn't feel like he was the man, but he still obeyed. See, we've gotten out of the habit of being obedient. Obedience is a bad word now. We don't like that word, only as it relates to children. You better obey me, boy. You better obey me, girl. But when it comes to adults, I don't obey nobody. I'm a grown man. What are you talking about? No, we have to. Matter of fact, we need to obey more as adults because we ought to know better. Anyway, let's move on because I got 2 minutes. 2 minute warning. The third thing you need to do is look at yourself as valuable to the family of God and to the body of Christ. And get this, listen very carefully. Not because of what you have to offer. Because that's where most of us find our value. I can help this church because I can do. But you can help this church because God has called you to be. And then you do. We are valuable because God has made us that way. Because we're a member of the body of Christ. And I don't have time to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 20 through 26, but it talks about, can the eye say to the foot that you're not a part of the body? Or the hand and the arm, are you not, just because you're not the main part or you're not a part? No, he says we all are needed parts of the body. And this is part of why there's so much division in the church, is because the Baptists don't think they need the Pentecostals. And the Pentecostals don't think they need the Methodists. And the Catholics really don't believe they need any of the Protestants. But if we're the body, we need each other. We can't function without each other. That's where unity comes in. It's not about the label you wear. It's the God you serve. Next, we're going to go, and then, like I said, we're counting down. Never let acceptance by others or conformity to the world be the reason you do things, but let your motivation be to follow God and his commands. And in Acts 4, 18 through 20, they told Peter and John, we don't want you preaching in this Jesus name anymore. And they said, and if you do, we're going to make sure you won't do it again. And what did they say? Oh, man, phew. Well, punch my ticket. I'm done. No, they said, we have to obey God instead of men. Because they weren't about who's popular. They've got to do what God told them to do. And they had a passion to do it. A passion to please God. Do we have that same passion? Not to do good. I know this is going to confuse some of us, but to follow God. You might say, well, isn't doing good following God? Eventually, but not initially. The initial response is to follow God. And as you follow him, he can't help but do good. Because as my sister said, he's a good God. He's a good God. All right, we gotta close her down. I'm a, 2 points and then I'm gonna close. Don't trust your assessment of yourself or the assessment of others about you. Trust God's assessment of you. Let's go, I gotta read this one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, wait, hold on, I messed up here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's the last verse in that chapter, and it says, God made us, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we, everybody say we, become the righteousness of God. God has called you, made you, allowed you to be righteous outside of what you can do. He's given you a righteous card. And you can take it wherever you go, as long as you're in him. Righteousness. I'm not the rascal that I was. God has called me to be righteous. And then the last point, and then I'm going to close. No, I can't take my time. Don't rely on your own abilities or your own accomplishments to determine your identity. I'm a good student. That's therefore I'm smart. I was a good student. But what happens when you can't remember what you learned? And it's coming. Trust me, it's coming. I was like, man, I don't remember that. So what happens when you can't remember? Are you now no longer smart because you can't remember? No. See that, but see, and then I'm somebody because I'm a lawyer. But what happens when you're a retired lawyer? Are you no longer somebody? And a lot of people die because they don't think they're anybody because they're not working at what they've done all their life. God has made you somebody. Because you are somebody in him. And that never changes. The life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians. So I've got to close. So we've got to understand that we cannot be defined by who we think we are. But we've got to believe what he says about us. And then we can really believe what the scripture says, that he who the Son has set free is free. I'm free. I'm free. I don't have to be bound by anything anymore. Death has no chains on me. Sin has no chain on me. We could say like Jesus, Satan has come, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. He's the only one that could legitimately say that. But now we can say that because Jesus has come. Satan has nothing in me. Amen. Let's stand. So if you need God to help you to get to this point. We're here to pray for you. We want to pray for you. We want to open the altars.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.